we had read for us this morning from Matthew 21. Your uninspired, bold headings. Can you turn the back lights back on so people in the back row may see their Bibles? Of course, if half the back row is using their iPads or whatever, they don't want the lights on, but that's a whole other story. Called the triumphal entry in with that bold, uninspired heading in most Bibles, where Jesus comes in on the donkey, and they're laying out their cloaks and palm branches before him, sort of paving the way as he comes in, and they are singing Hosanna to the Son of David. This is Matthew 21, verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. You say, why so excited about a prophet? Well, there was a prophet that the Lord used to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt, Abraham. And he said the Lord would raise up for you a prophet like myself after me. And indeed, Jesus was a prophet. More than that. However, they are very narrow in what they are looking for. And that's why, just a few chapters later, when Jesus has been arrested, betrayed by Judas, arrested by the chief priests and the Jewish leadership there, and handed over to Pilate, we see here in chapter 27 just how fickle that crowd is. Fickle means you want one thing one minute and another thing another minute. And I happen to know that women are especially fickle. My mother told me, she's a woman, she should know. And my father never said it, but I'm a man, so I happen to know that men are especially fickle as well. We're fickle. They're fickle. Turn to chapter 27 of Matthew if you're looking along. Looking there, and I'll pick up in verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, to the crowd, Whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? Which they would have been hearing, Messiah. For he, that is Pilate, knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. Let me translate crucified for you. With more than one word. Let him be tortured to death. Let him be tortured to death. But wait a second. When he had come into town, not long before that, they were shouting, Hosanna! What's changed? What's going on? But what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna means help now or save now. But now, Jesus is a prisoner of the Romans. Handed over by the Jewish leadership. He wasn't saving now the way they wanted him to save. And so they went from shouting, Hosanna, Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Taking the very cloaks off their backs to lay on the ground before him for the donkey to trot upon and drop things on. But they didn't care. Because he was coming. The prophet. The one. But when he didn't save, when he didn't help the way they wanted, they said, torture him to death and give us the scoundrel. You weren't there. I wasn't there. You can't be there. We can't go back there. But I can still ask this question. Would you have shouted, crucify him? Would you have been that fickle? Would you be that fickle to 1 minute sing his praises and the next minute say, eh? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because when I'm speaking to Christians, because when you get grumpy, angry, bitter, upset that he doesn't do now what you want the way you want him to, that's exactly what you're doing. You like him just fine when everything goes the way you think it should go. And praising him is wonderful when you had a good night's sleep and a delicious cup of coffee and the breakfast you've always wanted. And were carried here on a posh chariot chair or something. Right? And tomorrow you're getting whatever or this. Then, oh, my heart's full of praise. What about it doesn't go your way? What about when he doesn't save now, deliver now, do now what you want? And if you've been a Christian for longer than a day, you've been there. And you've gotten grumpy, angry, bitter, whatever. And it's no different than going from praise to just torture him to death. So you've actually done it. Not would you do it, you've done it, I've done it. And every time you sin, Christian, you're also doing it. You're also doing it. You're saying, let's see, I want this or I don't want to refrain from that. And this is what I think and how I want it and what I think I need and what my heart desires. And so I'm going to go with it, even though it's contrary to him. Fickle follower. I mean, we read these narratives and we just look at them and scratch our heads. Come on. We need to look in the mirror and scratch our heads. We need to step back and think about, wait, cut from the same cloth. I don't think for a second you or I are better than them. More noble. More righteous. More pious. We need to ask, they flip-flopped. Why'd they flip-flop? Oh, they wanted the prophet that was going to lead them out of Roman bondage. Fix their finite physical issues. Change their circumstances. If you ever want to, get a taste of what this is like, there's an excellent historical fiction book called The Bronze Bow. Go ahead and read it. It's written pretty well, and it gives you the insight into what Jews would have wrestled with because of how they were understanding Scripture. But what Scripture's really saying, what they wanted, what the human heart desires, and what Jesus really came and accomplished and did. And once again, we're not different. In essence, we shout, crucify him. Every time we're upset, not happy, finding an excuse to not rejoice and give thanks to the Lord always, because he didn't do now what we wanted, how we wanted. Or, when there's something we just want to do, or we don't want to refrain from doing, or whatever habit, that we know this is contrary to his will, but you know what? I gotta have it. I gotta do it. I gotta say it. I need it. He's withholding it. Same thing. Same thing. So, the sobering news is, that's you and I.
One minute, Hosanna, blessed be the name. The next minute, she's tortured unto death. That's the sobering news. And of course, the shocking news, to pick up on where we were this morning, is that He was coming to save, and He did. He accomplished that. The salvation that we need. The forgiveness of sins. Turn to John, 1 John chapter 1. See, it's not a question of if you sin, but when you sin. It doesn't mean you just go ahead and sin then, because grace will abound, right? No. If you're a Christian, you don't want to sin. That's what coming to Christ is all about. I hate my sin. It separates me from you. I'm estranged from you. I don't like this guilt. I have a problem. I'm afraid to die. You exist. What am I going to say when I see you? Jesus became sin, though he knew no sin. So you don't simply embrace sin because, well, you will sin. You still endeavor. If you are a Christian, your faith is in Christ. You are now in Christ. You are a new creation. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and you endeavor with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, to live to please Him and not yourself. But when you fail, it's not over. Because it didn't begin because you did something right. 1 John, starting in verse 5. This is the message we heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we would never be fickle like they were, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, on chapter 2, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation is a big word. It's related to redeem. Jesus, my Redeemer. The passage from this morning. Yahweh has redeemed. Salvation has come to the ends of the earth. Those words are all related. Propitiation has the idea in it that a payment is made and averts wrath. And remember, wrath means just punishment. So when the bad guy gets it, and I know that everyone likes that, we just define who the bad guy is wrongly quite often. But when the sentence is brought about in our courts or whatever, and the person was guilty, that's wrath. That's just punishment. It's not God's wrath per se, though our authorities are a sword from the Lord. That's wrath. And propitiation means that the divine justice, the just punishment, has been averted. But it can't simply just, we'll just not deal with it. We'll just forget about it. Because then there's no justice. What does it say? We confess our sins, He is faithful because He promised, and just. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in Him we might be the righteousness of God. Jesus made that payment with His life. He is the propitiation. He is that payment, that sacrifice, which satisfies the justice of God. That in Him, our sins are forgiven, we are cleansed, and He is our advocate. The very one whom they cried, torture Him to death,
was, it became, is the advocate. Well, they don't need an advocate anymore. They're with him. But those who were in the crowd who came to faith. And even those who come to faith and are fickle followers, which is every one of us. Because every time we sin, we're saying, just torture him to death. Who cares about him? That's a sobering reality. But here is the grace of God in his shocking, out of the box. We would never come up with that. Absolutely strange. No religion is like it. His servant, his actual son comes, is marred beyond recognition in order to shed his blood to sprinkle many, alluding to Isaiah 52, to become the propitiation for our sins here in his grace. You know what you do when you find yourself fickle? When you look in the mirror and go, that's me? When you find yourself grumbling, complaining, bitter, angry because he didn't save now or do now what and how you wanted? When you find yourself doing exactly what he said not to and rebelling against him and crying out with every ounce of your fiber, crucify him. What you do is you confess it. You confess it. There's an excellent word here in the English translation we have here in verse 6, practice. It's not an issue of if you sin. It's an issue of what you do when you sin. If you go on in that sin, in that rebellion, that's practice. That's a problem. The problem is that you rebelled. The problem is you continue in that rebellion. And what John is talking about here, the Apostle John, the Spirit writing and proclaiming through him this message that we proclaim, is that there is forgiveness. And there continues to be the need for forgiveness for the Christian. But take heart. Be encouraged. When you sin, you have an advocate. You have the one who has paid for your sins and justly brought about the release of the punishment you deserve. So you confess it. You confess it. And you run the other way. You take up the other direction. You're grumbling or complaining. What does the scripture tell us again and again? Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Make all your requests known with thanksgiving. You admit to him. You be honest. Yeah, I don't like how this went. I don't like how this is going. This upsets me. This bothers me. This is hard. This is difficult. I don't like it. But then you follow through with all the things you can thank him for. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. An inheritance that is coming that far outweighs this world and the things of this world going the way you would like them to go. That you're even talking to him right then and there instead of smited. I'm not sure that's a word, but it is now. For your rebellion and hatred for him. You go the opposite direction. Not doing what you know he'd have you do. You confess it and you do it. Doing what you know he'd not have you do. You confess it and you go the other way and you don't do it. And I say that and some of you are going, yeah, no duh, right? But here's what happens. When you are convicted over your sin, there comes the greater temptation. In that conviction, there's this greater temptation to then wallow. Oh yeah, I'm bad. Oh, now I gotta do, I don't know, I just, how am I even gonna, and then I gotta fess up to, and it's this hole that just gets deeper and deeper. And here it is in God's Word. Confess your sin. Say you have none? Well, you're off. You're wrong. When you sin, you confess it. You have an advocate. Price is paid. He cleanses. He cleanses. He came to save the fickle. That's all there are. The fickle. Again, we don't say, oh well, fickle, so whatever. No. Don't do that. You do admit it. You look in the mirror and say, oh, that's me. Going from praise to cursing. And thanks be to God. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He went to the cross
He did save. He does save. He has accomplished salvation. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, you are truly gracious and patient. From a human perspective, I could see accepting that we're sinners to be worked with until we're saved, but then a light switch should go on or off or something, right? And then we're perfect, but we're not. Father, have mercy upon us to see and to admit where we flip-flop, where we praise you in one breath and deny you in another. Grant us what's called a godly repentance in Scripture. A repentance from you, or a sorrow, a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Calling it sin, admitting it to you, and going in the opposite direction. Have mercy upon us that we would more consistently offer you the praise of our lips and of our lives that you deserve. May our hearts indeed be full of praise. May we overflow in praise for you. May that be a consistent praise. In Jesus' name.